Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Our demands may be radical, but the demands of the Earth are truly non-negotiable. Corporations and biology do not mix.
In Berkeley, I'm Amanda Bellerby. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Yesterday morning, a dedicated group of citizens reclaimed Zeb Mountain in scenic Campbell County, Tennessee, from National Coal, a notoriously destructive mining company. The action was one of many in the ongoing struggle to protect the ancient and beautiful Appalachian Mountains from the devastating practices of mountaintop removal coal mining. A bioregion-wide uprising calling itself Mountain Justice Summer is now in its third month and fourth state. A broad grassroots coalition of activists affiliated with MountainJusticeSummer.org and Katua Earth First are using creative, nonviolent tactics to bring attention to the atrocity of mountaintop mining. Joining us once again to talk about Mountain Justice Summer is organizer extraordinaire for Katua Earth First, John Johnson. John, welcome back to Flashpoints on KPFA.
Well, thanks for having me.
First, can you talk about mountaintop mining? What does it involve, and why is it so much worse than the old-fashioned way of mining coal from underground?
There are different methods of mountaintop mining. Mountaintop removal is the most extreme method of mountaintop mining. The tops of mountains are removed with heavy machinery and explosives, and the so-called overburden, the rubble of the former mountain, is then dumped into adjacent valleys, burying crucial headwater streams.
Now, how much of the top of a mountain are we talking about here? Is it, you know, 40 feet or is it hundreds of feet?
It could be up to hundreds of feet. It depends on the mountain. Now, here in Tennessee, true mountaintop removal is actually not allowed. So we've got this variation of mountaintop removal called cross ridge mining. And in that, the industry, the coal industry, claims that they have the engineering ability to actually put the mountain back together. So instead of dumping the rubble in an adjacent valley, they truck it off-site, and then when they're ready to move into the so-called reclamation process, they bring the rubble back and try to recreate the mountain.
And they recreate the ancient soils and the ancient forests on top?
No, they basically have a pile of rocks, and they put some dirt and clay on top of it, and they plant grass seed, exotic species of grass, non-natives. In addition, you know, when they're blasting apart the sandstone and shale and taking out the coal seams, they've absolutely disrupted the hydrological cycles of how water moves through the mountains, you know, and is held in aquifers or moves into springs, into the creeks and down into the rivers and so forth.
John Johnson, can you talk about how many issues this struggle encompasses, and why are you calling the campaign Mountain Justice Summer?
This is kind of an all-encompassing issue. This campaign involves many different levels of struggle and oppression. We're calling it Mountain Justice Summer because we want environmental justice and we want economic and social justice for folks who live in the coal fields of Appalachia. Oftentimes, people who live near these mine sites have to suffer the loss of their property through coal companies owning the mineral rights underneath their land, through loss of property value. Their wells get ruined, their houses get damaged from what's called fly rock, basically stray boulders either rolling or flying off these mine sites from the blasting.
Can you give us an example of that happening recently?
Last August, in Wise County in southwestern Virginia, a three-year-old boy was crushed to death in his sleep. Some men were using some heavy equipment at 2 a.m. in the morning on a haul road that coal trucks were going to be coming up and down. They did not even have a permit to be working on that road, and they dislodged this 600-pound boulder that rolled down the hill and then hit a stump and went airborne and crashed through the back of the double-wide trailer and crushed this three-year-old boy. And then the boulder rolled some more and landed at the foot of his little brother's bed. So, of course, the family was devastated. The mining company was fined a mere $15,000. The family now has a lawsuit against the mining company. The mining company called it an act of God, which is a familiar phrase to people who live in the hills and hollers of Appalachia, because any time a devastating flood happens or a blackwater spill, they say, we're not responsible, it was an act of God.
What is blackwater?
These blackwater spills happen all across Appalachia where coal companies have decided that they're going to use water to clean the coal, and then they store the resulting sludge which is full of toxic waste, heavy metals, etc., in these sludge ponds, which are often held behind earthen dams. One of the issues that Mountain Justice Summer worked on this summer in West Virginia was one of these sludge ponds that the bottom of the dam sits a mere 400 feet away from an elementary school that is basically downstream. If the dam fails, this stuff will pour out and destroy the elementary school. You know, and who's to say if the kids have a chance to leave or not? And we've actually talked to people who said, we worked on it. We know that it's not safe.
Can you connect the dots with what you folks call King Coal and the Bush administration?
The coal industry historically has bought itself all the politicians it needs on both sides of the aisle, and the Republican Party and the Bush administration has responded in kind by using the administrative office to effect all these different rule changes for federal agencies that regulate mining. For instance, they're making it easier to create valley fills, you know, where the rubble is thrown into the valleys and buries the streams.
Just give us a little perspective on the valley fill and the stream burial. How many miles of streams are already gone?
Conservative estimates are about 1,200 miles of streams across Appalachia have already been buried. About 500 square miles of land basically destroyed forever by mountaintop mining practices, most commonly mountaintop removal.
There are some aerial photographs on the MountainJusticeSummer.org website that are truly astounding. So, John Johnson, can you talk about the government's energy policy?
They're proud of the fact that supposedly we have 200 years worth of coal left in this country and that they intend to dig it and haul it and burn it. There's something like 100 or more applications across the country for new coal-fired power plants. The administration is not really looking at alternative sources of energy, and of course, conservation doesn't even appear to be on the table. I mean, this issue is inextricably linked to global warming. We're basically destroying the most biodiverse place on the continent that was a refuge during the last period of climate disruption during the Ice Age, and that could be a refuge again of biodiversity and evolution, and we're destroying it so that we can keep the lights on and play Nintendo all night long.
Let's talk more about Zeb Mountain. Last time you were on Earth Matters with me in the spring, you told us about this beautiful place. Can you give us some visuals and explain why is it such an important place for you folks to be drawing the line right now?
Zeb Mountain is one of the first major mountaintop mining projects to open back up. East Tennessee had a thriving coal industry. The price of coal dropped, and the mining industry basically collapsed. Now that the price of coal has gone up, probably in response to the price of oil going up, to the government's energy policy, to America's conspicuous consumption, overconsumption of electricity, now we are seeing a huge project, and they're going to remove three peaks of the mountain, probably the most biologically diverse bioregion in the continental United States, if not in North America outside of the tropics. So it's very important ecologically, outstanding habitat for a vast array of creatures. And not to mention that if we weren't destroying the mountains with the mountaintop mining and with the rampant clear-cutting that's going on, we probably could have a very valuable and sustainable timber industry here. That, you know, not like a massive scale, but just, you know, kind of small, local sawmills and hardwood manufacturing places, because Appalachia and indeed the southeastern United States is prime tree-growing region.
What does mountaintop removal do to the employment base? What about jobs?
It's different in different communities across Appalachia. Up in Claiborne County, which is right next to Campbell County, north of Knoxville, a lot of people are employed in the mining industry. But in West Virginia, what we found this summer was that in many communities, there are less jobs. You know, for instance, in 1960, there were over 120,000 men working for the coal industry in West Virginia. In the year 2000, there were less than 15,000, and that number has just gone down. But at the same time, the production of coal, the actual tonnage taken out of the ground, has gone up.
Another really important part of this story that I want to ask you about is what the local authorities have been doing to you activists, getting back to Mountain Justice Summer and the direct action yesterday.
It's not been consistent. Like, I got arrested in West Virginia at the beginning of the summer. The officers were very polite. It was state police. Most of us were not even handcuffed. and we were basically cited for trespassing and released. Now, yesterday, when members of Mountain Justice Summer and Ketua Earth First erected this blockade at the base of Zeb Mountain, the police were more aggressive than they had been. But the worst thing that they did was that they basically refused to control employees of the coal company and allowed them access to nonviolent protesters who were then violently assaulted during the course of the protest.
Now, these activists were locked down, weren't they? They were locked to one another and embedded arms in concrete and so on?
Yes, kind of the traditional Earth First tactics.
Describe the blockade and the tripod so people can get an idea what it looked like.
What they did was they brought an old car and had removed the seat out of it and built a kind of a lockbox for people to lock their arms into the car, and then deposited it at the gate of the mine, and then right behind it erected a tripod, and one gentleman went up into that tripod. And I've been told by several people who were out there that they're not sure that these were actual coal miners. These may have been hired security goons. You know, we didn't recognize them from past protests. They were very aggressive. You know, whoever these guys were, these security goons or managers or whoever they were, you know, were just very violent. One guy, you know, stole a camera. You know, they were basically trying to yank people out of the locking devices. One fellow was kicked in the stomach.
And what about the people who were locked to the car? What happened when these thugs attacked the barricade?
For early in the morning, they basically tried to run into it. If it wasn't for other people who were on site, the support people and other protesters basically stood in front of it to prevent the guy from ramming the car with his SUV. It's a really unfortunate situation.
Can you talk a little bit about what else is going on for Mountain Justice Summer for the rest of the summer and how people can get in touch with the campaign?
I do want to mention that we have had help from all over the country. Activist youth come here and pour a tremendous amount of energy into this campaign and just do so much work. It's really been amazing to see that the energy and the creativity and the passion has just been tremendous. And we've got a few more tricks up our sleeve for the next few weeks. Encourage everybody to check the website, www.mountainjusticesummer.org.
Thank you, John Johnson from Ketua Earth First, for all of your work in defense of the mountains and the communities of Appalachia. And thanks for joining us today on Flashpoints.
Thanks, Amanda.
Reporting for Flashpoints in Berkeley, this is Amanda Bellerby.
Coal trains run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, the tower goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Well-dressed Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards. While coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town is what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow.
A chemical that they used to treat the coal with had leaked into a stream and killed all fish, but it's not dangerous to humans, I was told. If I contaminate my children's air and my children's water, then I am the worst. That's the worst form of child abuse that there is. That I am sucking the earth dry of oil and coal and gas. I'm leaving nothing for my children but the water.
Some of the areas that I lived in drink water right out of the stream, and it was just as fresh as any water you can find right now in a bottle. Right now, you can go look at that water. It's yellow. It's orange looking. It stays muddy.
When they write a permit for mountaintop removal, it will include every seam of coal from the top to the creek. So they take the whole mountain. And I don't care who they are, it's their coal, but it's our mountain.
Larry Gibson, they call me an environmentalist. Why can't they call me a concerned citizen? But they gotta understand what's inside of a person's soul, besides a dollar, besides a wallet. And people don't understand the connection between the land and the people. Our mothers give us birth, of course, but the land gives us life.
My name's Joe Barnett. I live in Ardy, West Virginia. I live up in the head of a little hollow that has been affected by mountaintop removal in a very adverse way. The coal company came in initially and said they were going to do a little strip mining and that wouldn't be any harm to our community. Came in and they started to cut timber and run off all the wildlife, and then they started their valley field, polluted our streams, killed off our fish. Basically, they came in and they raped our community.